T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Non-shortened, can't do it today. 11:40.
Can't wait.
Just remember, a lot of things have been asked and answered.
Oh, he's already couching, folks.
I just
make him uncomfortable.
Who wants to have some fun?
I'm told Nick Shepkowski and Jay Zawoski did a great edition of Can't Do It while we were gone.
Yeah, people were tweeting at us saying that those guys raised the bar on it. I don't know how that would be.
We don't stall for 25 seconds before every answer.
Damn!
What did you least like about having Patrick Manley as a co-host?
Oh, good. He's coming in at noon.
Oh, what did I least like about having Patrick Manley as a co-host? Let's see. I would say, I'm not even filibustering. I'm deciding which way to go here.
Today, Junior?
No, babe, it's kind of a thing. The vibe of this question is not really jiving with me in my Cali soul.
His imitation of me is really mean-spirited and not very good. I don't think it's good.
Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins.
I'm going to hell. This segment is the worst.
Middays on the Score.
It was a fun Can't Do It yesterday.
The worst. The absolute worst thing you've ever done to anybody in media this week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. There's a few things on that list, too, apparently.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But the worst thing you've ever done is make me do that.
Yeah. I told Steph last night, I'm like, I'm 3 for 3 in work days with drama. In 2018, I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Hey man, I don't mind telling you that I talk to a guy every couple of weeks, little therapy. It's been very good, very healthy. I believe in the evolved man, the ever changing man that we all can be.
Yeah,
especially you, the women. But you know, I'm talking to him and he's like, yeah, I actually listened for a minute. I heard a segment where you have to tell the truth. He said, you're just asking for trouble with that thing. The therapist.
That's amazing.
The therapist. Heard Can't Do It. Said, what the hell are you doing with that?
Yeah. Well, so what? Is the therapist advocating lying?
No. He said, I would be angry at your producers for putting you in that situation. I'm like, oh, no, it's not them. It's Danny. It's Danny's bit.
Wow. All right.
So everybody thinks that you're a jackass.
Okay. Well, add your therapist to the list at $160 an hour. How much do you how much time in therapy do you spend talking about me?
Very little.
Very little.
Alarmingly little.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no.
Then I'm not causing you too much emotional distress.
No, not at all, man. Everything's good, man. Vibes are good.
Vibes are good. I'm just spending the money because I enjoy his time.
No. I got other stuff I got to work on.
Yeah, okay.
I have other things.
Yeah.
And you can guess what those are, but we don't talk about you very much.
Good. Would you tell me if it was the case?
Yeah, maybe not with the mic on.
Okay, yeah. Wednesdays at 11:40. Therapy sessions on the air.
Spiegel flaw draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. There's a lot of those.
312-644-6767.
We are doing a draft today. I'm looking forward to the draft we're doing today at noon because the NFL playoffs are upon us and we all need some dogs in this fight.
That's right. I believe these NFL playoffs to be even more wide open than usual. You've got the Patriots who could get the Chiefs in the opening round. The Chiefs blew them out this year and have played them tough in playoff games before. And this New England team doesn't seem to be quite as good as New England teams of the past, but they are still clearly the favorite. Pittsburgh, we got a serious Antonio Brown injury situation
sure.
On their hands. And then the one and the two seeds in the NFC are quarterbacked by Nick Foles and Case Keenum.
Yeah, I think it's even more wide open, obviously, in the NFC.
No question.
Because beyond those top two in the AFC, it's hard to find a team that you can back comfortably and say good things about.
Hard to find a team in the AFC you could see winning three games to get to the Super Bowl, other than New England and Pittsburgh.
It definitely does feel wide open. So we're going to simplify things, and we're going to draft playoff teams.
We're going to just draft playoff teams. Okay. Kind of do the Spiegel and Parkins power ranking, and we'll put some stakes on it among the crew to incentivize it, and we'll figure it out. I don't know what the stakes are. I just
stakes.
Came up with that.
Stakes, yes.
They're literally stakes.
Sound yeah. good.
Yeah. I just saw campy mouth to Jay.
Stakes?
Stakes?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to. All right, fine.
Steak dinner, boom.
Fine.
Steak, let's do it.
Steak dinner, boom. Man, puts a lot. It's even bigger stakes than I was thinking. I was thinking like $20 a man or something like that.
Oh, no, steak dinner, boom. Well, steak, yeah, dinner, sure, boom? We got to make sure that these guys are okay with steak dinner, boom.
All right, we'll figure. Maybe they can buy us burgers.
How about dinner, boom?
Dinner,
boom. Steak, boom.
What's that?
Cheese steak, boom.
Yeah. Cheese steak, boom. That's fine.
No, that's good.
It's fine.
If one of them win, if one of us win, it's a steak dinner.
Uh-huh.
And one of them win, it's a steak, cheese steak lunch.
Yeah.
All right.
That works for me.
We're programming the show on the air.
No fries. No fries.
No fries. All right. Fine. Fine. Spiegel and I can share fries.
Yeah, that's right.
We're coming together as a team in 2018.
Because I spend less time talking about them in therapy.
That's right. That's right.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. We've got Ben Lieber, who is former NFL player, Vikings sideline on Pat Shurmur and George Edwards at 9:40. Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus on the wild card weekend matchups at 10 o'clock. Pick a player at 10:40, the rundown brought to you by Zillow. With millions of photos of homes for sale and for rent, historical pricing data, and tools to help home buyers find what they're looking for, Zillow, find your way home.
We are also, of course, keeping abreast of anything that happens on an unbelievably slow Major League Baseball free agent market and hot stove season in general. And today is a really good day to check back in on the tanking dreams for your Chicago Bulls. It's a really good day to check back in.
And I got a guy that I think I want in the draft. I think I got a guy.
The NBA draft?
The NBA draft for the Bulls. I think I know the prize that I want from the tank.
Can they get it at the 7 spot, which is where they are now?
I don't know. We're going to check in on it.
Or the 9 spot where they were before a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, probably not. I want the big prize. I want a big prize.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. But the biggest story in town, obviously, is the Bears coaching search. And you have... you're hearkening to your past, right? When you started at the Score, you were a big folder guy, right?
I was. That's true. That's true.
You got your folder situation.
The prospective Bears head coaches folder is absolutely happening here. As always, the sponsorship opportunity remains for any of the sales staff who might be listening. Staples or perhaps Office Depot, Office Max. They all merged, I think. But
you want your folder sponsored?
I've it's only been, a topic of conversation going on about 8.5, 9 years here.
I need a car. So my lease is up in 5 weeks. Just saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Mean, if we're just going to hawk ourselves out there, for maybe you get free therapy.
What did you give your wife, by the way, the piece of jewelry that she was never expecting? That one that was like, tell her.
I didn't tell her. She loves it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did it work out well?
Worked out great.
What if it worked for Cap in the same way?
I'm clueless. Cap's got that big money that he probably bought his own jewelry.
Eerily similar storylines in your Christmas gift-giving worlds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was thrilled.
Good.
Speak, so
good.
X-nay on the immersal case. Oh, okay. Please. Please.
My bad.
Keep it down.
All right. Well, look, our teammate Greg Gabriel worked for several teams around the league for decades. And he made some calls on our behalf as a station. I talked to him this morning a little bit. He knows a lot of people still working in the league at a bunch of different organizations. This can be very, very valuable.
Yes.
And got us some background and some info on Pat Shurmur, on John DeFilippo, and a couple other things. And we appreciate, Greg making some calls on our behalf and digging around, because we gotta learn things. The Bears are going to interview both the Vikings coordinators next after talking to Vic Fangio yesterday, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And which is why we're going to have Ben Lieber on to talk Pat Shurmur and George Edwards coming up in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So perception on Pat Shurmur around the league has been really smart guy, but super serious guy. Does he have the personal magnetism to control the room? Doesn't that make sense a little bit from the little bit that we've seen of Pat Shurmur and how much everybody's excited about John DeFilippo and Sean McVay and stuff like that? You're looking for that energy, that spark, that something to stand in front of the room and control it.
Yeah, Pat Shurmur makes the most sense to me, even though like I would like, personally.
Like resume-wise, he makes the most sense.
Yeah,
right?
like personally, I would like someone like that is maybe perceived to have a higher ceiling that could, in theory, be considered a top five coach in the game, a true difference maker, that sort of thing. And I just kind of feel like that normally is going to be the young guy who gets his first shot that, you know, Sean McVay's it and takes the world by storm. I'm not sure that 50-something-year-old Pat Shurmur, who's the coach of the Browns and has been everywhere in the NFL,
right,
is just going to be that guy. But I'd be shocked if Pat Shurmur was a bust of a hire. Like, I'd be shocked if he wasn't able to develop Mitch Trubisky, mm-hmm. and I'd be shocked if he was not able to significantly improve the Bears on the offensive side of the ball.
Does he have that energy that it takes to really, you know, control the room and get in there? And Greg was told yes. Yes, by somebody who knows him very well and has worked with him. He's not just a, this is how we do it because that's the way we do it guy. He is one of those guys who will explain it to you, talk about it with you, listen to you, have the conversation, and maybe adjust based on what is good for you and comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Now, that feels really important to me. Remember the quote that I read to you about from Jared Goff just on Monday in one of the articles I'd read? He said that McVay is not a guy who just says, this is how we do it. Because that's what we do.
Right.
He actually has the conversation with him and says, oh, your footwork, you don't like doing it that way? Okay, well, then let's talk about some other ways that we can do it. Like
the collaborative effort.
Yes.
Even though everyone hated the Bears using the word collaborative, the collaborative effort where it's supposed to be collaborative.
Well, I mean, how many times have we heard, you know, old stick-in-the-mud coaches going, like, no, that's just how we do it, all right? Just shut up and do it that way.
Well, also, in this NFL...
You can't.
Right. It seems to be more impactful to do it that way because the college teams are not running pro-style offenses.
Mm-hmm.
They're all coming in running the spread. They're all coming in with the plays being called from the sideline. They're not huddling. They are in the shotgun 95% of the time. So if you were going to say, well, no, we're going to run it the same way we ran it in 1982,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to do what Bill O'Brien did in Houston and adjust your system to fit your personnel.
Yes, and Shurmur has shown that with some of the plays and design that they've done with Keenum.
Yeah.
He's adjusted to Keenum's skill set a bit in Minnesota.
And I don't think you can watch the Vikings and not feel like they're maximizing their talent. Which is to me, and I think that Mike Zimmer obviously mm-hmm. gets a ton of credit for that, mm-hmm. and I don't know what percentage of the credit goes to Pat Shurmur for that, but offensively, I look around that team and I'm like, they're better than their sum of their parts. That usually is about coaching. That reflects well on Pat Shurmur.
Agreed. And personality-wise, Shurmur, smart, super serious, but can be funny, does have that personality to really communicate well with the modern breed of player. Was the phrasing that Gabriel got. He got a raw deal in Cleveland, an extra reason to sort of wipe away the Clevelandness of Shurmur and the failure there is that Jimmy Haslam and Banner, that Joe Banner came in and he never had a chance. So one of those situations that we've seen many times where like above a coach, things change. And even though they were arcing in a direction that would have been fine for a lot of people, he just never had a shot in Cleveland.
That makes sense.
All right. On John DeFilippo.
And by the way, no one holds that against him, right?
I think that's true.
Like I think people hold Denver against McDaniels more than they hold Cleveland against Shurmur because Cleveland is where quarterbacks and coaches and anybody not named Joe Thomas goes to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like nobody looks good coming out of the Cleveland organization.
I agree. And I think that's why the information that DeFilippo called plays in Cleveland matters to me. So we know that is something he's done as opposed to looking at Cleveland and did they succeed or not.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense.
All right. So a couple things on DeFilippo. According to the guys that Greg talked to who know him well, DeFilippo is going to be a good coach, but he's not ready. He's not ready. He's going to win the interview. He's one of those guys who does have that personality, but he's probably a year or two away. The biggest fear of this person who knows DeFilippo well, he's not ready to put a staff together. Does he know enough guys on different sides of the ball? Does he have the contacts that it takes to put a staff together? So,
That is a legitimate concern, obviously, for any young coach who hasn't been around that long, right? Who's just been like maybe working his way up through the ranks.
Sure.
DeFilippo has worked for the Eagles, the Browns, and the Raiders in the NFL. Then it was San Jose State before that. Mm-hmm. Then the Jets, Raiders, and Giants before that. So he has worked for four or five different NFL organizations.
And we don't know how active he's been in, like, hey, if I ever get a job, would you come? Or like how active he's been in maintaining and chasing down those relationships.
Right. We don't know how he is as a networker. Right. Is he just a grinder, worker, put his head down, and he's all about offense and quarterbacks? Or is he also a networker and careerist? But I would say if you're up for a head coaching job at 39 years old in the NFL, probably a fairly decent careerist.
Yeah, probably. But this is a person who has worked with DeFilippo.
No, I understand.
For a long time and said that he's just not sure. And, you know, but were you sure that McVay knew enough people?
Well, right, and so we were looking it up. How did Sean McVay land Wade Phillips to coach his defense? And he used, like so many people use in order to get jobs and network in this country, family connections.
Yeah, Wade Phillips' son was on staff in Washington. And so McVay knew him and went through him.
So he went through his son to get to his dad. And so his dad, and then Wade Phillips has kids who live in California.
He's got a daughter who lives in LA.
So it made sense for him and his personal life to be around his daughter. And so there's a lot of reasons to come together for how the 31 year old head coach could hire the 60 something year old defensive coordinator.
One thing that we did talk about also is that Mike Pettine, who was the head coach in Cleveland, a defensive guy, when DeFilippo was the offensive coordinator there, is still getting paid by Cleveland right now, but he's about to come out of contract. So that makes sense as maybe DeFilippo makes that call and says, all right, I was your OC. Will you come and be my DC? You know?
Sure.
And that's a guy who's done it before.
And obviously in the NFL, the GM and the team, and as we've talked about a lot here recently, the president and the owner all get a say in hiring the head coach. It's ultimately going to be Ryan Pace's job, but the head coach gets to hire their staff. Like, that's just how it works in the NFL. Unless there's a holdover there and they want that person to be there, like what happened with Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz in Philly.
Sure, and you wonder if, I would assume, wouldn't you, that yesterday part of the conversation that Ryan Pace has with Vic Fangio is, hey, if we go offensive, are there some of these guys you might work with, you might not work with, you know?
Would you be interested? And he's a coaching free agent.
Yes.
Like, would you be interested in coming back here as the defensive coordinator? Period.
You know
what I mean? Before we even talk about whoever the head coach would be, and I'm sure that before he would sign on for that, he'd have to know who the head coach is, obviously, and see what his work
would you even consider it?
Would you consider returning here for anything less than being the head coach?
Right. So how helpful could Ryan Pace be in helping a young John DeFilippo put together a staff? More helpful than he would have been 3 years ago to a coach.
No question. And maybe Ryan Pace has to have more of an input on hiring the coaching staff than he otherwise would have if he hires a young coach.
You know who might be helpful there? Is Ted Phillips with all his years in the league.
He's got a lot of coaching folders.
All my years in the league, all the different head coaches I've worked with. Smirk, smirk. Shut up! Shut up! All right.
What other coaches did he get info on? Because we're going to get those on the other side.
Okay. Nagy.
Okay.
Matt Nagy. And a thing on Josh McDaniels as a possible destination that I think makes a lot of sense. All right, Matt Nagy is a bright guy, but is he ready? Really? And so there's not a whole lot about Matt Nagy, but, you know, from the folks that Gabriel talked to, Matt Nagy, because as you've said, a meteoric rise, right?
Yeah, well, it just
like a missile shooting up into the sky.
Like, wow, this might be the last thing I ever see.
Right. Is a guy going from offensive coordinator in Kansas City to being the Bears head coach.
Just from what I know, being around that organization for a while, and he had been there for a few years, worked with Andy Reid in Philly. Like, Andy Reid has always really liked him. He brought him over. He speaks very highly of him. It's just, Andy Reid is so hands-on with the offense, and then there was Peterson who was hands-on, and then Brad Childress had like a special roles thing. Like, they had three veteran head coaching experience type guys in that room before they ever got to Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, now he's around a bunch of great offensive minds, so he's probably learned a lot, but just in terms of responsibility, the public pressures, all that sort of thing.
And he has only been with Andy Reid since 2008 in Philadelphia.
That's correct.
He has only been with Andy Reid in Philadelphia and Kansas City, so in terms of knowing enough people to put a staff together, more of a challenge for him than DeFilippo on the face of it.
On the face of it, because Doug Peterson already took some people to Philly.
Correct.
Andy Reid's going to keep some people in Kansas City. Dave Tobe might be leaving anyway to go somewhere else for his own promotion. So, like, Matt Nagy, I like a lot about what people in KC tell me about him. I really do. It's just, mm-hmm. it's like putting Mitch Trubisky in the coaching interview so early.
You know what it's like?
It's very premature.
It's like putting a 30-year-old kid from Deerfield in the midday slot. You know, it's dangerous.
From Glencoe.
Oh, Glencoe. I'm sorry about that.
It's totally not ridiculous when you talk about the worldly experience that I had growing up in Glencoe. Thanks, Spieg. But you spoke with Greg Gabriel, who made some calls on his and our behalf and gave us permission to pass along the information. We've already done it with Pat Shurmur and John DeFilippo and Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
So the last one that he talked about, Josh McDaniels.
McDaniels, the news came out this morning, right? Or late last night. He interviewed yesterday in Indianapolis. Now,
yep.
Chris Ballard, the GM in Indianapolis, with his Kansas City ties, and a lot of us been thinking, well, maybe Dave Tobe makes sense there, or Nagy, Matt Nagy makes sense there. But the owner, Jim Irsay, he meddles every once in a while and likes big, splashy news. And McDaniels, as a fit with Andrew Luck, sure, but also hearkening back to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patriots rivalry that Irsay wants to, you know, swim with the big fish once again.
Say what you will, that was a fun time in the NFL.
Oh, hell yeah, it was. And if you're Jim Irsay, you're looking back on that and you're thinking about, man, yeah, I want to be thought of with the Pats and have those meetings in the playoffs with everything that, that
right.
goes along with it. So Irsay is pushing hard for Josh McDaniels, and we'll find out how strong Chris Ballard can be as he perhaps fends off the desires of his owner.
In Josh McDaniels, we have to be open to the possibility that he'll be Bill O'Brien, or better, that he'll be the offensive guy who breaks away. And Bill O'Brien seems like he's a good coach, but you ask 10 people in Houston, you'll get 10 different opinions on Bill O'Brien. Yeah, it is not like Deshaun Watson looks great, but it is not consensus that Bill O'Brien's a great coach. We had Meltzer on, and he was telling us about it. Like, it's like, I like things about him. I'd consider him if he got fired, but uh-huh. there have been plenty of things that people have been critical of him for. Relationships in the building, erring on the side of a veteran quarterback as opposed to realizing that Deshaun Watson was clearly the best guy from Jump Street,
right.
being late to tailor his offense, didn't do it in preseason and training camp, that sort of thing. Like, now, you could learn on the job and get better, but
sure.
Bill O'Brien is not a slam dunk, but he is the most successful guy to leave the Patriots tree.
Right.
In a head coaching role.
The Belichick tree is a big thing. McDaniels, will he want to do everything? And if he doesn't do everything, can he even play out the model, as our guy Michael Lombardi has put it, if he's not doing everything?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in. Spiegel and Parkins on the score. Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus in 20 minutes. But joining us now on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline, Ben Lieber, former NFL player, Vikings sideline reporter on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. We appreciate him spending some time on his bye week.
Danny, has Dick Stockton ever done play-by-play for an interception in your life?
No.
Mine neither.
That's unfortunate.
But Ben Lieber had it right there.
A career highlight, I assume, right, Ben?
I'm laughing on my end because I'm wondering, and be honest with me, like, how long did it take to find a Ben Lieber highlight clip against the Bears? I mean, that's like a half a day journey right there.
Can't be. 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
That's how much we care about your appearance.
Wow. Wow, that's it?
The internet's a crazy place, Ben.
I know. Yeah, it seems like when you mentioned my name and Brian Greasy and then Dick Stockton, who obviously is still doing stuff, but man, it just seems like that was a long time ago, many moons ago.
It was. You got beaten out for a job in San Diego by Sean Merriman. Feels like he retired 2 decades ago, you know?
Wow, thanks a lot.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, my bad.
Why do you always do this to our guests?
I do that. It's my bad. He was on drugs, Ben.
It is a good yin and yang, I guess, right? Like,
yeah.
You play a highlight, then you also like to, you know, talk about something that's bad or negative that happened in their career. So, yeah.
Build you up, tear you down, build you up, tear you down.
It brings me back to center. I appreciate that.
So the Bears are trying to poach, it seems like, both Pat Shurmur and George Edwards. I feel like we know a little bit more about Pat Shurmur. We'll ask you about both. But what do you think of George Edwards as a head coaching candidate? Is he ready for it?
Well, I'll say that I think anybody that's in that role of just sort of placekeeper and not pure decision maker, especially on game day, I think he's always going to have question marks, whether, you know, for, at least for this organization, you know, Brad Childress was the same thing as he came from Philadelphia. You know, he was the offensive coordinator, but he didn't make the calls, and that was Andy Reid. So there was always, I think, some question marks and legitimate question marks about, all right, how are you going to run this offense? Daryl Bevel, I know he didn't get the head coaching job, but, you know, he didn't call the plays for us as Vikings when he took the OC job in Seattle. And so there was a learning process and a learning curve for him when he got up there. So, you know, I think in this situation with George Edwards, he does, according to Mike Zimmer, he does everything during the course of the week that any defensive coordinator would do, except when it comes to game day, he doesn't make those pressure calls and those down by down calls. I think as far as running a team, I feel like you sort of need to be in that role of being on game day and having to manage and juggle all those things, because it's multifaceted. There's a lot of things that you have to multitask and make decisions about on the fly. And I do think that it helps. I'm certainly not every head coach has to be a coordinator, but I think it certainly helps to be in that role where you're making game day calls. So if you had to choose one over the other, you know, I think I'd go with Pat Shurmur just because he's actually making the calls.
Well, Shurmur's got that advantage over every one of the other young offensive minds that the Bears are considering and that we kick around here all day. So in a lot of ways, it feels like he has the lowest floor because he's done it before and probably knows what he's doing. Personality-wise, does he have what it takes to command a room, you think, Pat Shurmur?
Yeah, I think so. I think what we're finding with a lot of this stuff, with 32 head coaches, and I know that they're not all elite and successful, but you find multiple personalities can be good leaders. And I think he definitely has a personality that, you know, you can gravitate towards. He can manage a team. I think he does a good job of, you know, just from a talent evaluation standpoint, of looking up and down your roster and figuring out not only what your starters can do well, but, you know, what your backups can do well also. And that's been evident in the year and a half that he's really taken control of this offense, is we've had so many injuries, both offensive line, which I think is one of the hardest places to evaluate, finding offensive linemen that are, you know, 2-3 down the depth chart, and even young guys, and trusting them and putting them in positions to be successful. And I think, that's a really difficult thing to do. I mean, it's easy to find a skill position guy like, hey, well, just look at the way he runs on the field. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious with the eye test that this guy has what it takes. But when you look at offensive linemen, my goodness, we've had, you know, in the last year and a half, there's been so many guys that have gone down and guys flip-flopping back and forth. And then he's calling plays to sort of, you know, take some of the vulnerability away from those guys. So he does a great job, I think, you know, up and down the roster of evaluating talent, and that's really what it comes down to when it comes to the product on the field.
Ben Lieber, Vikings sideline reporter, joining us to talk about the offensive and defensive coordinator for the Vikings, who both the Bears are requesting interviews with. The number one thing, at least from our seat, for the Bears' next head coach is going to be maximizing and developing Mitch Trubisky. What can you tell us about Pat Shurmur's role in maximizing guys like Case Keenum?
Well, I think that's it's a great fit as far as what I've seen out of Trubisky is, you know, an athletic quarterback that I think once he gets more comfortable with the system, he can get more comfortable extending plays and moving around within the pocket. I think that's been a huge development for Case Keenum, is his ability to stay within the pocket, make guys miss, use his athleticism, which I think still surprises a lot of people, and get out and make some throws. I think Trubisky probably has a bigger skill set when it comes to arm strength and getting the ball down the field. So I think you can do a lot of the things that Case is doing, making good decisions, extending plays. You can do a lot of that with Mitch. So I think he's a great fit. I think he'd be good for that offense. You still have to figure out, Can Mitch make those smart decisions? I think he has the accuracy. You know, he certainly has the feet and all that stuff and the awareness, but you still have to make good decisions. I mean, it's the same thing we talked about with Cam Newton and Jameis Winston, is those guys have a lot of physical traits, but it still comes down to making good decisions, and sometimes they don't always do that. So That remains to be seen, but I think based on what Pat Shurmur was given when he got to the Vikings, with North Turner retiring last year midway through the season, having to manage and navigate implementing some Norv stuff, implementing some of his own ideas, all while keeping it simple and allowing his players to play fast, and then at the end of the season, you know, totally switching gears and going more into his system. I think all of that has translated into sort of a hybrid offense. I mean, it's hard to really say what he really is, because he can move the ball down the field, and he can be a little bit West Coast. So I think if there was ever a time for him to take a head coaching job or move his offense away from the Vikings, this would be the year to do it.
Hey, Ben, how has he and the Vikings gotten so much production out of the two backup running backs after Dalvin Cook goes down? It's stunning to me. Maybe some of it is just situational because they've had a lead and they're running a lot, or what has he done, if anything, to make that so effective?
Well, sure. I think some of it is situational, as is every player's production. But I think the addition of the offensive line with Remmers and Reef on the outside, you get Rashad Hill, who's a backup that's played like a starter throughout the whole season. And then the young guy at center, Pat Elflein, the rookie from Ohio State, has been a gigantic surprise. And the way this offense is able to athletically come off double teams and get to the second level has allowed Latavius Murray, you know, to use his size. You know, I don't think that Latavius has exceptional vision. I don't think that he has great awareness as far as getting his body in the right positions. I mean, sometimes he runs smack dab in the chest of a defender as if he doesn't see them. And I think a lot of his big runs are because the offensive line is just manhandling people. And he does do a good job when the read is right smack dab in his face. It's his primary hole that he has to hit. If that's wide open, he does a good job of running off the hips of the offensive lineman, making it hard for defenders. So those guys up front is drastically different from this team last year. And they really struggled last year in third and shorts, fourth and shorts, goal line situations. They could do all that work, but they get down the red zone, they just cannot pick up a few extra yards. This year has been different. And then they, you know, get in Jerick McKinnon in there, and, you know, it's kind of like everybody else. They want a big guy and they want a fast guy. And I think that imbalance for a defense, especially with the offensive line, is hard to grasp.
Hey, Ben, you played for 9 years. Who's the best athlete you ever played with in the NFL?
Man, best athlete?
Yeah, like the guy who just blew you away.
I tell you what, Percy Harvin was pretty damn athletic.
yeah, he was.
You know, he did some things that I think you would be shocked if you actually saw him in the locker room. And you're like, wow, he's not that big of a guy, but yet he'll lower his head and run some people over, or he'll run right around you and make you miss and make you look stupid. I would say pound for pound, one of the best players I ever played with was Antoine Winfield. There is another guy that is pretty small in stature, but I've seen him take on 315-pound linemen like a linebacker. I've seen him do things athletically in small spaces that most people can't do, which to his benefit works out when he's that small. You know, he's one of the toughest guys I've ever played with mentally as well. So, man, like those two guys come right to the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, another Ohio State guy, Antoine Winfield, was great there too.
Ben, we know you got to run. Thank you very much for the time and the insight.
Hey, no problem at all, guys. Enjoy your coaching search.
Yeah, enjoy the second. Enjoy the 2 seed in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, we
will.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Ben Lieber, Vikings sideline reporter on the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Harbaugh scoops are now coming in. Via text.
Oh, our unsourced things.
Oh,
good. What do we
yes,
got?
Yes, our unsourced.
Any real estate agents out there?
Here's one. I'm a hostess at RPM. Jim Harbaugh just made a reservation for tonight at 8 o'clock.
Nice. Okay.
I work at Staples in Lake Forest. Harbaugh came in and asked for a Bears lanyard for his magic marker. Heard it here first.
That seems a little sloppy. That seems a little. Even Mitch Trubisky used an alias at the steakhouse in North Carolina.
I just saw Jim Harbaugh ice skating at the Maggie Daly Ribbon.
Mm.
in Grant Park. Thank
Get
you very much.
Get in your playbook.
Much. Right?
Harbaugh. Jeez.
What was Trubisky's alias?
Remember, James McMahon.
Titch Trubisky?
You're right. James McMahon. Excellent job.
Yeah, he put the reservation for like six or eight, James McMahon.
Right. I wonder if this RPM thing is like Vince Evans plus five tonight at RPM.
That's a little presumptuous on his part, don't you think? Putting himself up there with Jimmy Mack? I don't know. Yeah. I don't like this guy anymore.
Did you say you heard a caller the other day, Jay?
Yes.
That was talking Harbaugh?
His friend knows. I think we have the audio.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Let's check in with Ed. Morning, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I said it back in October. I called. I've got some friends that are Michigan alums, and people close to Harbaugh say Harbaugh wants the Bears job. Jim Harbaugh is going to be the coach in 2018. Fangio will stay on the sidelines with him just like he was in Frisco, but it's going to be Harbaugh.
Are your friends lawyers? Because he's got a significant buyout.
Yeah, it's $8 million or
my friends aren't lawyers. Okay. I called the Jim Caldwell deal. Everybody said, well, he just signed this big extension and that. So now Caldwell was out in Detroit. But, yeah, they'll do whatever it takes. It's going to be Harbaugh.
I don't think that Jim Harbaugh wants to leave Ann Arbor.
Well, whatever.
Shut up, Paul.
What do you know, David?
Get out of the way,
what are your sources about?
Get out of the way.
Just because.
Let him go.
Let the man talk.
Forget it. He's rolling.
Big time columnist, talk show host with friends and contacts all over the Big Ten and the NFL. What the hell do you know?
Can we confirm that Mitch Rosen has put together the imaging for the Bears have hired Jim Harbaugh? Do we know yet?
I don't know. I'm going to find out.
I like that idea. Like, we could just start messing with people.
I was in the Ace Hardware in Deerfield. Jim Harbaugh was there buying two bags of rock salt and a snow shovel.
Yeah, of course he was.
Thank you. Please.
Of course.
And Mail Dog says, until somebody sees Harbaugh at a Starbucks, I will not believe it. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
The Theo, man, it was real in a Starbucks on Yom Kippur. As a matter of fact. As I sport my
Super
Jew.
Yeah, you got your
T-shirt.
Super Jew, sure.
That's
right. Breaking Bears news. The Bears have named their new head coach. It's Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, we got
Keep
it.
Listening for all the details.
I'm going to guess that might be from 3 years ago.
How many other ones do we have? How many we got, Campy?
Quite a few.
No, okay, yes. All right, hold on a second. Let's play a game right now before pick a player. All right.
Do you want the least likely one?
No. I want to see if did you have them all loaded up? I want to guess them, and then you play them if we have them. Okay? So the Bear, do you have them? All right, I got to give them a second. We got to see what we're going to load them all in, and then Speaks, you and I are going to guess to see how obscure of names we can find.
Okay.
For the big voice guy.
Texture says, I just saw Jim Harbaugh buying 10 pairs of khakis at the Old Navy in Lake Forest.
There are six of them, by the way.
There are six of them.
Six
made.
Of
All right.
them.
All right, so we did Jim Harbaugh.
Okay. Can I go first?
Yeah, please.
All right, Vic Fangio.
All right.
It's got to exist.
No.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Come on, Mitch. I feel shame.
Okay. All right. So you're 0 for 1.
Good.
Josh McDaniels.
Breaking Bears news. The Bears have named their new head coach. It's Josh McDaniels.
Okay. John DeFilippo.
Breaking Bears news. The Bears have named their new head coach. It's John DeFilippo.
All right.
Pat Shurmur.
No.
What? Oh, my God.
Huge miss.
Wow.
That is a whiff.
What is going
All right,
on?
My turn. Dave Tobe.
No.
What? Oh, jeez.
Unbelievable.
Steve Wilkes?
No.
I was kidding on that one.
Matt Nagy.
Breaking Bears news. The Bears have named their new head coach. It's Matt Nagy.
All right. Ditka.
Surprisingly not, my friend.
How do they not have Ditka? What the hell's wrong
man.
With that? Oh, my God. Wait, how many more are there? There's like three
There's
more?
There's three more.
Oh, my God.
You have at least a chance at two of them.
George Edwards?
No. Said DeFilippo.
We said...
Oh, Frank Reich.
Breaking Bears news. The Bears have named their new head coach.
Terrible.
It's Frank Reich.
It's terrible scouting.
Okay, so these are big voice guy promos that have already been made. Which ones have we gotten? We got Harbaugh, Fangio.
No, Frank Reich,
yeah.
Harbaugh, DeFilippo, McDaniels, and Nagy.
And there's two more?
Two more.
Oh, my.
There's not a Shurmur? Did I guess Shurmur?
Yeah. There is no Shurmur.
You'll never get at least one of these.
One of them you won't get.
All right, Ron Rivera.
No.
Neither
are head coaches right now. One of them has a strong connection that was insinuated before to Ryan Pace.
All right, Jeff.
Pete Carmichael.
Yeah.
Breaking Bears news. The Bears have named their new head coach. It's Pete Carmichael Jr.
Bill Cowher. They have Bill Cowher in there. John Gruden.
You're never going to get it.
All right, no. No, you're never going to get it. This
Breaking
coach.
Bears news. The Bears have named their new head coach. It's John Morton. Keep listening for all the details on the Bears' new coach.
Who is John Morton?
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Who is John Morton?
The offensive coordinator with the Jets, who's probably going to go with Gruden to the Raiders.
Oh, you ass.
John
Who doesn't know John Morton?
Like, who's in that meeting? Like, who's in that meeting? Like, at Harbaugh, no Fangio.
Who suggested?
Someone Googled coaching candidates.
John Morton.
They only got part of the way into Kevin Fishbane's list and then thought there were too many names and just stopped.
That's probably true. Printed out Fishbane's list. All right, we got it was seven. Morton. John Morton. I do that one.
They're interviewing Shermer. Who cares? Give me Morton. Got to be prepared for anything. All right.
That's amazing.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I don't know how much of a Bulls game you took in last night.
I watched a bunch, actually. I was going back and forth between that and the Celtics and Cavs. And once the Celtics and Cavs ceased to be close for a little while, went back and watched more of the Bulls.
Yeah, I had Hawks-Rangers up top for a bit, a little bit of the Celtics game. Tonight, by the way, a rare opportunity to see a big game in the Central Time Zone for the Warriors, as it is Warriors-Rockets in Houston. So they're the early TNT game.
No James Harden, right?
True.
Out for a couple of weeks.
True. Steph is back. But still, the system, the style of play, how they match up.
How fun it is, absolutely.
Yeah, so if you want to check out the Warriors and how they're looking this year, you can get that tonight, the early game.
And Steph had a game winner. Steph had a game winner last night.
Yes, he did. Last night was a good tank win, as you call it, for the Bulls because, you know, Markkanen was good. Dunn really wasn't. Holiday was good. They were competitive for three quarters. And then with DeRozan and Lowry and an experienced veteran team with playoff experience and fourth quarter scoring, the Raptors pulled away and won.
On a good run here, having lost three in a row, the Bulls are on a good run now. They would have the seventh pick in the draft, or the seventh best percentage in the going into the lottery.
Correct.
If the lottery were to take place today. Rick Camp, very passionate this morning as he and I were looking at tankathon.com. The Bulls tied right now with Dallas, who they play tomorrow night. That's a big tank battle. Hashtag tank battle between the Bulls and the Mavs tomorrow night.
You should be mad at Steph Curry because it was the Mavs that Steph Curry hit that game winner against last night. Harrison Barnes couldn't come through in the end.
That would have been a nice big win for the Mavericks to get over the Warriors. That would have been nice.
Gets real confusing.
It's very confusing.
If you just keep talking.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. But no, they won. Oh, I see. Yeah.
The Bulls are only two games back in the win column from the second worst record.
See, that's the thing. You look at this. Look, Atlanta's going to be bad all year long. The Lakers are the second worst team in the NBA. Don't you suspect that the Lakers kids will start to figure things out and could play themselves ahead of the Bulls or behind the Bulls, however you'd like to say it?
Sure.
I suspect.
Western Conference is tougher, though.
Yeah.
They also don't have their pick. Boston has the Lakers.
That's
pick,
the Celtics
so they're not
pick.
Also organizationally. And I know there's qualifications on top three protected and stuff like that.
But my God.
But yeah.
And Lonzo's been out the last five games.
Right. They've lost eight in a row.
But regardless, the Bulls are going to be bad. They're going to be in the mix. They're going to be in the lottery. And even though Zach LaVine is close to coming back, they're going to get worse at the trade deadline when they trade Robin Lopez. That will make them much worse on the defensive end of the floor. That will take away some of their leadership and the steady hand. And like, if you just watch the game, he's handshaking with all of the guys. He's like always putting his hands around. He's waiting for guys at timeouts for them to get back to the bench. Like, he's clearly a leader on the team.
I still want to talk to him. I really like that dude.
Well, if it's anything like Taj Gibson, we'll be about to
we'll
get him,
a lot of prep.
And then he'll be traded.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you really want to talk to Robin Lopez,
better
you should
do it soon.
Yeah, put in the request soon because he's about to leave. maybe Justin Holliday gets traded. Maybe Nico gets traded. Nico probably does get traded.
The day that they can trade Nico, it begins January 16th.
And then the trade deadline in the NBA is February 8th. So obviously Garpax have been working on this for a while. They were probably back channel conversations, all that sort of thing. So maybe he gets traded January 16th. Maybe it takes a few more days or weeks, but they've got about a 3.5 week window from when they can trade him to when they're able to trade him.
As we're looking around here, Memphis has been without Mike Conley for some time. They're in the 4 spot ahead of the Bulls. They will probably get better when Conley comes back.
Yep.
Orlando is without Vucevic now for a couple of months, I believe. So they're in the 3 spot. They'll probably stay bad for a while. Dallas, is Phoenix playing well? Sort of.
Phoenix is six and four in their last 10.
Let's define well, yeah. Right? For any of these jamokes. Most of these other teams, the Bulls should be able to stay ahead of. The Clippers now with Blake Griffin back, they've won 4 in a row, and they're right on the edge of being a playoff team out West.
So, the Bulls are going to be bad. The thing is, like we talked about before the year, there's a lot of teams trying to be bad this year, right? It's a great lottery. It's a top 7-8 heavy draft. It's deeper than most, and a lot of teams have embraced the process of what the Sixers did and stuff like that.
Is it that deep? Is the lottery that deep?
It's pretty good, man.
We got Bagley. Michael Porter's starting to work out now.
Yeah, that's huge news in Colombia. Michael Porter starting to work out, did meet the media, and he is actually, I believe today, traveling to Dallas to meet with a specialist for his back to see if he could maybe begin more intense workouts and coming back this year. They have not ruled him out for the season in Missouri.
All right, the international player, Luka Doncic.
Then there's Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton.
The kid from Arizona. There's Bamba.
That's Muhammad Bamba. The kid from Texas. The Texas center. His wingspan is like 8.5
seven,
feet.
7'9".
Is it 7'9"?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't even have to joke about it for it to be absurd.
And then Trae Young.
You love Trae Young.
How can you not? Like, and people say, oh, he's from Oklahoma, you know, not a power guy. No, he's a McDonald's All-American. He's from Norman, KU, Kentucky, and Oklahoma were his final three. So don't hold against him that he's playing for Lon Kruger and the Sooners. Let me give you some – if anyone hasn't seen Trae Young play.
I think it's entirely possible that people have not seen Trae Young play. He's averaging just under 30 points a game. He's got more than 10 assists per game right now. But how big is he?
Okay, so he's – right, he's small. He's small. All right, but listen to this. He is – all right, I got a few things here for you that I think you're going to enjoy.
Take your time.
Well, he's a freshman, and he's played 13 collegiate games, and he's leading the country in scoring.
Okay,
all right,
freshman, 13 games, leading the country in scoring,
also averaging over 10.5 assists a game.
It's possible that folks out there may have come across a highlight once or twice, and if you've come across a highlight, you've seen him pull up from 25, 30, 35 feet and nail jumpers comfortably.
He plays like Steph Curry. Like, remember when LeBron came into the league, and then a few years later, and then like 5-6 years later, you started seeing guys who were trying to resemble it, and like LeBron's talked about how like he took Ben Simmons under his wing because Simmons plays like LeBron. They grew up watching him. Like, the generation of players who have now seen Steph Curry,
yes,
and they've been able to, when they were in grade school and early high school, start molding their game after him, they're starting to come, and Trae Young is ridiculous.
Can I give you a specific nugget about the moment that Trae Young saw Steph Curry?
Please, and then I'm going to give you a stat that when I saw it, it absolutely blew me away. So go ahead.
This is in the Wall Street Journal, actually, today. It's a big profile on Trae Young. November of 2008, it's just a couple of months after Davidson had made that NCAA tournament run in 2007, right?
Yep.
And Davidson came to play against Oklahoma, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Trae Young was 10 years old, and Trae Young went to that game. Also, by the way, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant went to that game because they wanted to watch Steph Curry. Trae Young was 10 years old.
That's so cool, man.
And he was there that night as Curry scored 44 points in front of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and the kid you're talking about, Trae Young. He says he can still recite every detail. Quote, I remember exactly where I was sitting. Trae Young was 10 watching Steph put up 44 against Oklahoma.
All right. That's incredible. I love that.
Right?
I love that. That's fantastic. I'm going to give you this stat. 25 points or more, 10 assists or more in a college game in the last 20 years, major conference player.
All right, 25 and 10.
25 and 10, got to play from a major conference last 20 years. Again, Trae Young has only played 13 games. but I want you to take a guess. Like, who would you think of that is on that list? Like, you gotta like how common it is.
How many years are you going back?
20 years. Last 20 years of college basketball.
25 and 10.
25 points, 10 assists. Can't be. Throw him out.
I mean, it's Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer Fredette, not in the top three on the list.
Kemba Walker.
Not on the top three on the list. There's a bull on the top three of the list, which will shock you guys.
Jaren Grant.
Jaren Grant, not on the list.
Chris Dunn.
Not on the list. Denzel Valentine.
Oh, of course.
He had.
Playmaker.
Okay. Denzel Valentine, in the last 20 years, major conference player, 25 and 10, second all time with only six games. Six 25 and 10 games and 144 collegiate games. Any Notre Dame basketball fans here remember Chris Thomas? Chris Thomas had five of them in 128 games. Major conference player, 25 points, 10 assists. Trae Young has played 13 games. He has seven of them. He already has the most 25 and 10 games from a major conference player in the last 20 years. He's played in 13 games. More than half of them have been 25 and 10.
That's awesome.
That's absurd.
He's got the ball in his hands a lot. Is a big part of it.
They're 40-minute games.
Yeah. Well, he plays a lot. The volume of shooting. Nobody's ever attempted or made the kind of volume of three-pointers that he's taking so far, right? I mean, it really is. It's Steph Curry. It's his college Steph Curry.
Yeah, but he is 19 years old, McDonald's All-American, could have gone to Kentucky, could have gone to Kansas, from Norman, stayed home, went to Oklahoma, and I just don't – yes, he's got defensive limitations. Yes, he's got size limitations. I just don't know how you watch the modern NBA – and you see the Bulls' point guard problem. Not that Chris Dunn hasn't been good. He has, but he's averaging 14 and 6. Like, let's not go insane about what Chris Dunn has done so far. And he lives in the mid-range, which is not where the NBA is going.
Well, let's talk about this conceptually for a minute. At the time, I loved Steph Curry so much. Had discussions / arguments with Bernsey and Terry about whether Steph would be a good pro. I didn't know he'd be this. Didn't, of course.
Right, of course. Nobody did.
Who could you? How could you? But like, you look at it and you're like, man, that's not sustainable. And Steph is showing you that it is sustainable. Let's grant for a moment that Trae Young is Steph Curry. Okay, that he is that guy who can shoot from absolutely anywhere, stretch the floor like nobody else.
Great ball handler, great passer. He is the perfect offensive weapon.
I wouldn't say he's the perfect offensive weapon because unless he has a whole bunch other help, like Steph Curry needed Klay Thompson, who is also a great shooter, to be a splash brother, needed Draymond. I mean, Steph is unbelievable. But without other guys to help stretch... You know, you could shut down.
To be the perfect weapon, he'd have to be like 6'8".
See, but 6'7" and 6'8" with the same thing. Agreed.
I mean, Steph
Curry, not the perfect offensive weapon.
For the modern NBA...
James Harden is probably the perfect offensive weapon.
It's right? I mean, okay. Steph Curry was the MVP of the league. He's just set three-point records ablaze.
I know.
He makes everybody around him better. Like, he...
With the perfect team built around him, too. He's phenomenal. But the perfect team built around him, having Klay Thompson, a guy who's a perfect spot-up shooter, Draymond to do what he does, just the willingness of the guys on that roster to pass when Steph is
absolutely
so good at coming off of screens. Like, Steph is phenomenal.
Think about
He's earned his MVPs, no doubt.
He's a top three player in the NBA.
Yeah, he's the best shooter of all time. But the thing is, like, if you have to ask me about like these guys, the earliest right now at this moment, I would consider taking Trae Young is fifth.
That is ridiculous.
Size matters in the NBA. Wings win rings. So if I have the chance to get let's say Porter doesn't even play, but he works out and shows that he's at least, you know, to an expected level. I'd take Ayton. I'd take Bagley. At this moment, if the draft was today, I just think that the size matters, switchability matters.
Uh-huh.
You can't ignore defense just because there's more scoring.
Steph is the one guy who you can't switch on to everybody else on Golden State, on defense, right? Like everybody else to play with, but Steph is the guy who can't. Like, even if you think about their title run, there were games where Steph got cold or got bottled up defensively in some levels, and Klay Thompson would carry them for a quarter here or there.
Right. Trae Young's fun as hell. I love watching him play. However, if I'm a GM, I'm taking those other guys before him if the draft is today.
Some of those big guys are so raw. You're taking Bamba over him?
Yes. Okay. Now, Bamba, the first two.
I don't know about that.
Bamba's first 2 years in the league, he's going to be almost exclusively a rim protector as he develops that offensive game. And I realize there's a lower floor there, most likely.
Yeah, no.
However, if you can get that guy
what's the best
he could be.
What's the comp? Give me the comp.
He could be Rudy Gobert with a better offensive game.
Okay. And Gobert's a great defensive player.
And I'd rather have Steph Curry than Rudy Gobert.
Well, obviously. But I mean, if we're.
I'm just saying that the Trae Young profile busts out fairly often. Like that profile of guy.
Oh, no, but that's. We're not talking about that necessarily. Let's go ahead and grant him Steph Curry. Like if we're going to go. Let's say we're going to grant him that. Right?
Yeah.
And
well, okay,
No. Grant every one of those other guys their best comp too. Right? So that's because we're talking about what would be the value. So grant Bagley your best comp. Grant Porter your best comp. Go ahead and grant Bamba Rudy Gobert.
If you give me Porter's best, I take Porter.
Yes.
If you give me Porter's best, I take him number one overall. He's Durant.
I probably go Ayton after that because of his just gigantic size and his ability to shoot.
That's the thing. If we're going to grant everybody's best,
I think Porter has the highest ceiling because he can do the most. He's the most versatile, skilled player. The comps of him coming out, and listen, we haven't seen him play a college game, but the comps of him coming out of school were like the point guard, like Ben Simmons with a jump shot,
right?
Basically, mm-hmm. So that is a fairly dominant two-way basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Porter's got the highest ceiling, but. I don't know that and I love the ceiling conversation and the comp conversation. You can't just draft for ceiling, and you can't watch Trae Young play and tell me that that guy's not a scorer and a point guard in this modern NBA. Like that,
I'll give you that one. Now you're back to floor. I think what's interesting is that to you and why you would go 1-1 on Trae Young is because you immediately put Steph Curry top three player. And there are some that will even debate that. There's a lot of people, frankly, that would debate that right now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I love Steph.
LeBron, Durant, Steph feels to me like that should be a consensus. And then Westbrook, Harden. Like that. Is that not a consensus top five in the NBA?
Westbrook over Steph? A lot of people would go that way. A ton of people would go that way and put Steph no better
than
four.
If Anthony Davis was in a competent organization.
He's amazing. You're taking him over Steph Curry?
If you had a redraft right now?
I'm not. Because and I love Anthony Davis.
Think about what you've often said, though, when we think about it from those perspectives. How many good lead guards are there? You're going to take Anthony Davis and get Damian Lillard in the second round in your redraft, you know?
I understand what you're saying, but we've seen the Warriors now what? How many titles? We got three titles. Mm-hmm. We got two titles and the wins record. We got two titles in the 73 win season. With Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, they added Durant, and yes, they're a super team and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, they added the second best player in the league. You know?
I understand, but they did some of it before that he was there. He's changed the way that everyone else is playing basketball.
I love him, but if we stay at the ceiling thought, I disagree with Campy that you take Mohamed Bamba over Trae Young, that you take Rudy Gobert with a better rim protected game over Steph Curry. Porter, yes. Right? Porter, yes, as a big wing who can also – Ben Simmons with a jump shot.
But he's out the entire season with a back injury.
Right. So now we're back.
But just a huge thing.
In terms of asset and to a team
and
a title
run. By the way, Trae Young is 6'2". He's not 5'11". He's 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of guys in this NBA that can be successful at that size.
I'll say this for you. I would not let Chris Dunn keep me from picking Trae Young.
Hell no. Are you crazy?
Chris Dunn hits his ceiling at right now, he is a low-end starter.
Yeah.
Just watch. Like, people should just – I'm just saying, if you find yourself flipping around and you find yourself bored and it's cold and you're not going outside and, and Oklahoma's on TV.
Watch.
Just watch 10 minutes because it's insane. It's off the dribble, one-handed passes from half court for dunks.
Yes.
It's pulling up from 35 feet. It's Steph Curry in college.
And I love that we could add the anecdote I added from the Wall Street Journal because they're calling him, this article refers to Trae Young as the first player of the Steph Curry generation, which is a nice way to think about it because the kid is 10 years old when he sees Steph do his thing and he's like, and he is born and bred with this philosophy of, man, threes aren't bad. No, it's just, that's the way of the world now.
And people are, we're getting a few Buddy Hield texts. You haven't watched Trae Young play.
I haven't watched yet.
And Buddy Hield was a great college player.
It's just they went to the same school and they're shooters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How about, I mean, in terms of volume of scoring and the shot from forever, away, Jimmer. My brain keeps going to Jimmer. But the skill set, the athleticism is much, much better here than it is with Jimmer.
He always has the ball in his hands. Yeah. It's pretty fun to watch.
Oh, he's great to watch. The other thing that worries me is that, and it's nitpicky, that he's 6'2 with a 6'2 wingspan. So it's not even like he has longer arms to be able to make up for the little bit of height disadvantage that mm-hmm. he'll have to deal with defensively.
Yeah.
That part, not good, but still.
All right, let's put it this way. If the Bulls get Trae Young at 5, it's an insane draft.
You know what? They could.
Right.
What's great about this, Steph went what, 7? Steph went after Minnesota, took Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, anything can happen.
Right. Well, and the league could look around and still have, you know, some of the wisdom that Campy's talking about and still say, I'll take the upside of Kevin Knox before I take the upside of Trae Young.
Yeah, but Trae Young, like, he's number 3 right now on NBADraft.net. They've learned from Steph Curry. Like Johnny Flynn, I covered Johnny Flynn. I watched Johnny Flynn. Johnny Flynn is no Trae Young.
Oh no, it was ridiculous. Right, but I'm saying, but the point is, like, people
not, no
doubted
making that mistake.
People doubted Curry enough. A texter says, "I am screaming, Kawhi is better in the produce section." Thank you for texting it, sir.
That's very true. I feel dumb for not thinking of Kawhi. I would take Kawhi right now.
All right, so
over Steph Curry.
How about Giannis? Yes. How about Giannis? Would you take Giannis?
No,
and
not Giannis yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But you take Kawhi. All right, so you got Durant, LeBron.
Hey Jay, what do you
Westbrook.
Think?
Westbrook.
What do you think, Jack? Over all these guys,
perfect. It's Spiegel and Parkinson on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Texter says Loggins couldn't turn chicken crap into chicken salad. To your point, Danny.
Yeah,
but he didn't have to take that chicken crap and give us horse crap with it.
Mm.
What's interesting about that is that he's valuing chicken crap above horse crap.
I would imagine it'd be smaller, right? Like
so, therefore more convenient. Like if you had
If you had to deal with it,
convenient.
If you had to clean up chicken crap or horse crap,
that's the problem.
Which would you rather clean up?
Because you want
the answer
neither.
Is chicken.
I think I would rather have chicken crap because I could just, you know, put that in my pocket and move on with my day.
Light them up. A big horse crap you can just shovel and it's over. Chickens are little pebbles and you got to find them all and no.
Where are
the
you
shovel
putting?
Couldn't also get the little pebbles?
Yeah, but it would take forever. They're scattered everywhere. The horse ones are easy to find. They're in the stable.
Well, now you're talking
about is a shotgun approach that I didn't know about.
What type of experience do you have with this?
Now you're talking about like how you have to clear up all the crap? No, I mean, yeah, so you leave a little behind. Who cares?
Well, for cleaning one,
yeah,
chicken is obviously the winner. But if we have to clean up all of it on the farm, horse by a mile.
So you're saying if there's a stable of horses and a gaggle of chickens.
Right, a chicken coop versus a horse stable.
Yeah.
You'll be done in 5 minutes in a horse stable. Chicken coop, that's a 100, like probably like 100 yards long, 20 yards wide.
All right.
You got to kick the chickens around to get to all of it. And when you finish one corner, they messed up the other corner again.
You've really thought about
it. Shep's in the building. We could ask him.
Put him on the poll. @_Parkins on Twitter.
Shep, which one's easier to clean with a banjo on your back while you're rolling around Coal City? Which one, kiddo?
He actually has the washboard with him, too.
All right. Well, Jay, how far does that go? Does that logic, like, would you elephant crap?
Yeah, I mean, how many elephants are going to be on the elephant farm? Probably one or two. You get one of those wide mouth shovels.
Boom.
Yeah. And you have to think that horses and elephants probably eat more nutritiously than a chicken.
All right, we need an expert. A texter says, as a trucker, I've hauled both. You want the horse crap over the chicken. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a follow-up question.
Why do I want it, trucker? And this guy suggests a crap draft.
which
animal's crap? Would you take least before the I don't know.
I don't
now
either.
Now it's gotten confused.
It's very confusing. Jay's logic of wanting to deal with more crap is surprising.
It's more, but it's isolated.
Well, I don't think you really know what chicken crap looks
does
like.
Does the chicken?
No, I'm going to go ahead and call you out right now. I think you do not know what it looks like.
I'm going to Google it. But does the chicken go like a pigeon?
No, here's the thing. A texter says that chicken crap is slimy and smelly. It is not nuggets. Like, you're imagining rabbit. rabbit poop.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Right?
Either way, though, I'm right.
Yeah, that's Red Sox Rob, who says horse crap is much nicer by a mile. You city fools have obviously never been near a farm.
Right now, the vote is 50-50. This is a split decision here.
You put it on the poll?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Nice.
Hashtag sports.
At @Spiegel_Parkins on Twitter. Lovely. Okay.
Yeah, horse poop is huge, scattered all over the stall. Chicken crap is liquidy, like a regular bird, but bigger and grosser. Now I'm starting to go with you here.
Thank you. And most horses will go on hay. Uh-huh. So you just scoop under the hay. There's no, like, digging or any crevices. It's all just right there for you.
Man, the farmers are checking in now, and the farmers are backing you up.
Wow, Dad. Really?
Thank you. Farmer here, horse is way better. Chicken bleep is the worst smelling bleep there is.
It's a miracle that Speaks hasn't done that so far.
Yeah, man. Chicken manure is way worse. Higher ammonia content in the manure makes cleaning it up awful. There. So you know what?
Okay.
Okay. So, no. So, the initial texter who said that Loggins turned chicken crap into horse crap, that would have been an improvement.
Gotcha. Dow Loggins, disrespected left and right here. Can you imagine if he's like driving around, he's moving, and he's listening to the score? He's like, come on!
Wait a minute.
Come on, Kendall Wright and Marcus Wheaton!